Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 27, 2020. New Life 1225. The Education of Tomorrow.
Shalom lachem, toda shetem mitzarfim elenu.
Hello to all of you, thank you for joining us. We are having one of our New Life talks with Dr. Rav Michael Leitman, Michael Leitman. Rav, hello. Owen. Okay, today we will talk about education in the age of the coronavirus. We will have many questions you sent us from the bottom of the heart. We will feel Rav's answers on the way to a new life. So, Rav, what motivated the filming of this show is very, very emotional pleas that we received from a teacher, a woman of education, and she asked us to film this program and get answers from you regarding how she and other educational personnel in Israel and all over the world can relate to what they, their role basically in society now. They shape, they form the next generation. She writes as following. I'm a classroom teacher, and I want you to ask Rav Leitman if the essence of education changes in this time. I feel that I, as a teacher, must get to my own, my next grade, to upgrade myself. So thank you from the bottom of the heart. So the question is, the first question is, how do you see it? It's a new time in the world, a new era, the era of the coronavirus. So the educators, what's different now in their so sacred of a duty? Love. First of all, I see great changes that may happen in the character, in the manner of education, in how education is applied through the internet systems, through computers. Perhaps you'll have classrooms organized in such a way. Different ways to study different subjects. Also with the children at home, they will be at home many more hours than they used to be when they assembled at schools and other such places. So they will study subjects, have exams, they'll have different exercises, and the way we educate, the way we prepare the materials that we teach, and also the way the student does his homework and how he brings it. So there won't be a school, like a structure where children assemble, right? It will be a virtual school. So I see that there are many big changes here that we will have to undergo. Also, I see that the educational system has been changing for a long time now. Whether it wants to or not, the parents no longer trust the education that their children are given there. They're not so happy about sending their children to schools because it's a place where children see, hear, and learn things which aren't exactly according to the desires of the parents anymore. So we're not talking about education so much as the education system, the framework itself is a bad one. It's bad. Children don't like it. And they come because they don't know anything else. But when they come there, they have such conditions. They come across competitiveness, forcefulness, violence. You have the boys against the girls and these groups against those groups, and it's a shame. It's an absolute shame that our children undergo such an education, if you can even call it that. Yeah, that they have to go through such states. Owen, if I would ask you, looking forward, right, what kind of values do the educators need to give to our children, to the students? Do the values need to change following the corona era? The coronavirus only shows us that we can have this education at a distance, right, virtual education, where there's distance between the teachers and the students and other students themselves, and you can arrange everything to teach through the computers, right? You can do it in different ways also, not necessarily where the children are seeing the teacher. Instead of that, they can see video clips, movies, theater pieces. They can read more. In the classroom, they're dealing so much with, power, forcefulness. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. I don't think children need to feel that. They need to feel that there's a new way in which people relate to each other. Especially at their age, it's very important. And we need to show this to them using films, movies, theater pieces, and also conversations with good psychologists through the computer. So that they could also meet such a special experts in education. These psychologists can explain different forms and modes of behavior, why it happens and so on, and children will write it down and they'll act accordingly. They will show us and themselves later if things are working correctly or not. They should hold discussions, meaning education, the process of education needs to be much more through discussions, a more living process where they live it, they feel it, they themselves build their own proper society. And so from classroom to classroom, until from grade to grade, until we see them, when they finish school, we will see them as people who are no longer boys and girls. These are men and women who are prepared to enter adult life, and they know how to relate to each other correctly, how to behave with each other. What kind of approach and attitude they have to adopt towards each other, and so on. Today, there's no such thing. It exists a little, but I see how they behave. It's all in order not to allow others to make me fall. That's how I behave. To lower me, not to allow them to lower me. And so I behave in such a way where I'm a hero, I'm strong, I'm special. It shouldn't be like that. The person doesn't feel secure, and he behaves according to what society dictates to him, and the whole foundation there is improper. Owen, I identify very, very much with what you say as a father of four children as well, and you're emphasizing the matter of forcefulness, right? Love. Yes, that's the main thing at those ages, because for children it's an age where the person's ego is growing and demanding of him to be independent, to be responsible, to be unique. To be invulnerable so that people can't hurt him. And this is for boys and especially for girls, and between boys and girls also. There's different relationships there, relations between the strong and the weak, between the prettier and the less pretty. And as usual, for this age group, who are very sensitive, they're very sensitive to damage to each one's ego, right? So we need to give the person more freedom. When I go to school and I enter the classroom, then when I enter the classroom, I'm constantly thinking of what to do in order not to be hurt, right? So that I will appear to the others as a little better, more successful in something than others. To never appear weak or afraid and so on. There are many, many different forms of behavior in the classroom, in that society, where I'm obliged to behave this way unless or people will belittle me, right? So it's not that I necessarily want to behave this way, but I do it because I need them to think that I'm mighty, a hero, smart, intelligent, and special, and so on. So there's a problem here, because we are in a society, in one classroom, we're enclosed there. It's like a prison, sort of, where you put 30 children, and you begin to heat up the relationships between them. And their teachers also. I was sometimes a witness to that, how they use these relationships that form between the children in order to organize the children. Perhaps they have proper intentions, good intentions, but they use these forces in a very egoistic, very pragmatic manner. The teachers also are relatively childlike, but big children. Oh, and clear. So if I would ask you about this point regarding forcefulness and so on, how can a teacher, an educator with a new perception, how does he need to relate to forcefulness? Right? If it's human nature, even from a young age, and this is how people are built, and I as an educator, I receive the children as raw material, so to speak, how to work with this tendency towards forcefulness? We don't need to begin from that. We need to begin from the knowledge that our world is an integral group, and our world is an integral world, and so it should be in our classroom, or whatever group. Each group needs to be an integral group, where the individual and the whole, the collective, are equal, and everyone needs to be connected well to each other. And it can be the 8 billion people of the world, or it can be the few people in the family, or it can be the 30 or 40 in the classroom, or it can be the several millions of the nation, the people. It doesn't matter. The law is the same law. Everyone have to be in relative equality, because the weaker a person is, he has more privileges. Right? The smaller he is, he also gets more privileges, and so on. Owen, how did you see this idea of relative equality? How would you see it applied in a classroom? I would teach it. I would teach it to the classroom. See, look how some are stronger, some are weaker, some are prettier, some are less, some shout more, some are more calm, and so on. Let's write down 10 or 15 or however many you want. Let's write differences we have between people in our society and how, according to those differences that each one has in him, his natural attributes, how can we give all of them an equal opportunity? An equal opportunity. Well, let's say I stutter, so I need to get two or three times the time to express myself than you, who speak very quickly, very rapidly. There are some who find it harder to understand things than others, so you need to give them more time to understand the material, to absorb it, or to explain it to them twice. There are some who don't care about it. They're not interested in any of it, so we need to bring them to a state where it's interesting to them and to try. The whole classroom perhaps could attempt to explain it to such children. And more, there are many means here, many instruments that we can discuss, the whole classroom together, as a whole. And we can discuss how to bring everyone to a state where everyone understands the material, everyone grasps it, and everyone enjoys the study. A state where the study becomes such that we don't care so much about the geography and history that we learn. What we care about is that through it we build ourselves as a society that knows how to relate to each person, such that each person becomes a psychologist of a sort. What do I mean by psychologist? A person who understands, knows the soul of everyone and of each person. And so when we study in that way, when we learn this, it helps us be more close to each other, more supportive of each other, more connected to each other. And that's good, because after school, when I finish school, throughout my life, I'll know how to build for myself such an environment where I'll feel good and they'll feel good with me. Owen, you said a sentence which I, as a parent, I sign on it, not just with both my hands, with four hands. We need to create such interactions between the students where they feel that they enjoy studying together. Yes, not the subject itself that they're studying, but the fact that they're learning it in such a way where It opens up very special relationships to them. Owen, what kind of relationships can cause a person to feel, a child to feel that he's enjoying the study? I use many different forms of different students in order to build an integral society between them, where there are connections between all of them, between many such shapes, until I see these lines forming, weaving them all together between everyone and creating ties between them all, until this ball is created, like a yarn ball is created between us, where each one pulls the strings for everyone else. You know, in combinatorics, you can calculate how many such threads will exist between you and the others. And this is in every shape, every way, every manner, and every discernment towards which we want to arrange a certain social attitude. Owen, you said that the classroom where the children are growing, in effect, that's an environment that has many relationships in it, many forms of relations, but they're based on forcefulness, on competition. I'm smarter, I'm stronger, you're less, and so on. Love. Let's take that into account. Let's take all those into account. Let's now make a list of all these negative forms of interaction, relations. Because we talked about the speed, the power, the intelligence, we talked about it in a certain way. But now let's talk about it through the negative aspect of it. Owen, what does it mean? Love. We want to complement these things to complete them, right? So let's see how to compensate. Oh, how can we compensate if I'm smart and you're not, if I'm strong and you're not, and so on? How do you compensate? Love, what do you think? Oh, and it's impossible to compensate. That's how nature made us. Love. Nonetheless, how can we come to a state where each one feels in our society that he's well off, that he feels good, that he doesn't feel rejected, oppressed, and neglected, belittled? We need to bring the person to some sort of a state where he feels himself to be comfortable and well, right? Nothing less than that. If the Creator made us different, I need to arrange things in such a way where we complete each other, complement each other. You know, it's written on Colt's tombstone, the one who created that pistol, the Colt's pistol. It's written that the Creator made everyone different and Colt made everyone equal, right? Because each one has a gun and everyone can use it the same. So this is, of course, a joke. It's not something I'm advocating. Owen, okay, so how do we apply this idea and implement it in a classroom where each one is different, each child is different? How can I, as an educator, create such interactions in the classroom where, despite the difference between the children, they all feel comfortable, not only comfortable, but rather that it doesn't even harm him, right? Let's say I'm not smart, he's not quick, he has a different flaw and that one has another flaw. We need to give each one of them a feeling that he's completely equal to all the others. The Creator created us unequal, and we build a society where everyone is equal. How do we build a society where each one feels equal despite nature not having created him as such? Love, I don't know. Owen, what's the key? You say if we relate differently to what nature made, instead of fearing to come to the classroom, I'll feel convenient, happy that I'm flourishing, opening up like a flower, as I am. Love. Yes, Owen. So what is the switch that transforms the atmosphere in the classroom? Love. Regarding the atmosphere, that's not a problem. There's a simple solution. Love covers all crimes. Owen, meaning love. That there needs to be a good attitude between every child, between all the children, right? Good relations. Like a mother and her children. They're all different, but she relates to them all as equals or equally. Meaning she gives each one of them what he requires. Owen, but the mother loves all her children. That's not the reality of the classroom. Love. That is ultimately what the Creator is demanding of us. Well, of course, not in a group of children and not in the, let's say, ideal way, but as part of our education, which we build, this is the main thing we have to do in the classroom. Owen, let's define it exactly. Love. The subject, what we study. Owen, yes. Love. What we study, our subject, is how to make everyone equals, how to make everyone equal, all as one group, one unit, and to feel that we are connected together with one heart, and That's it, I would say. Oren, this painting you drew for us now, can you define it as the goal which the educator wants to bring the group, the classroom to? Rav, without them achieving that, it's forbidden for them to come out of the classroom and join adult life. Oren, because they're still not qualified, Rav, because of how they'll behave, like they do now. Oren, all right, so give me some exercise, the first exercise that an educator can do with his group of students in order to bring them closer to that new feeling, that new sensation, a practical exercise. Rav, the game of soccer. Oren, soccer is played today also. Rav, yes, yes. A game of soccer where each one thinks of how to assist his friend in the group. Oren, what does it mean to assist, to compliment them? Rav, it means that I want my teammates to enjoy the fact that we're playing together against another team. Oren, and if one of us isn't such a good player, Rav, it doesn't matter if he's good or not at soccer. What's important is that we want to play together in such a way where I want to please all my friends, to delight them, for them to enjoy the game. Oren, and this is what each of us needs to think, regardless of his level at soccer, how I make everyone enjoy the game. Rav, did you ever see how mother or father play with the child, assist him? Oren, yes, of course. Rav, yeah, you help him succeed, even to beat you in the game, right? Oren, and what will I gain from this, from doing this? As a child, love, pleasure from connection, because by that you fulfill the condition of let him feel good with you, as it is written. Oren, okay, so one last thing, Rav Lightman, an educator needs to put, what does he need to put in front of himself, to place in front of himself? Love, a good interconnected society where love can be born. Oren, amen and amen. That's very beautiful. A place where love can be born. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you all for joining us as well. New life, learning to live well. Join us again. Goodbye.
Nature cannot tolerate any longer. Question. You say that the situation with the coronavirus will take 6 months to a year. When will this all end? Answer. Don't wait. Nature must tame us, guide us along a completely new path, the supra-egoistic path. We cannot continue to mutilate it, we are obliged to live differently. You can't spend 80% of your strength, energy, and mind on breaking nature and leave 20% or even less on your own existence. We cannot act this way anymore because when we do this, we violate the laws and conditions of nature's equilibrium. Nature can't stand it. In just the 2 months that we stopped interfering with nature, it began to recover. Nature cannot tolerate any longer. The system cannot remain oppressed. From Cab TV's meetings with Kabbalah, Victoria Bonia, March 29, 2020. $10 billion in one heart. Baha'u'llah writes that if humanity does not want to unite and treat each other kindly, then we will face world wars and natural disasters, after which a handful of people will remain on earth who will have to include all the souls and come to love their neighbor anyway. Why don't we do it right now without waiting for the blows? Let's ask ourselves. All humanity must unite as one ten and include the Creator within itself. A ten can consist of 10 billion people, the main thing is that they connect as one group, one ten. The number of people is not important, the connection is important. But keep in mind that the fewer people remain on Earth, the greater egoism each person would have. That is, they would have to go through greater suffering and misery in order to receive greater force from above to correct their egoistic desire. The world population growth is caused by the growing desire to enjoy being revealed that requires correction. The greater the number of people who want to overcome their egoism, the easier it is for them to correct themselves. If we do not want to improve, then nature puts pressure on us, destroys and kills us, but in every survivor there remains much more suffering, problems, and willingness to give up their egoism. It all depends not on the number of people but on their willingness to unite as one ten. When I talk about what the world will look like in the post-coronavirus era, I am accused of supposedly being a socialist. But this state has already been described by Balha Sulam and the prophets a long time ago. We need to rise above our corporeal view and see ourselves existing in one heart. And this does not depend on the condition in which the physical bodies are or on their number, whether it will be 10 billion people on Earth or 20 billion. We must reach a state where it becomes unimportant for us in what material form we live and, most importantly, that we exist and can be united by our souls, thereby providing a place for the Creator to be revealed. It doesn't matter how my animal body lives, the main thing is that I feel as one heart with all the inhabitants of this world. From the Kabbalah lesson April 18, 2020, Balha Sulam, the love for the Creator and love for the created beings. Kabbalistic terms, Gamma Tikkun. Gamma Tikkun is the complete, final correction of egoism into bestowal and love when we turn the ego into the opposite quality. Here, the science of Kabbalah comes to our aid. With the help of this methodology, the upper light affects the egoistic desire, gradually raising it to new desires, to bestowal, love, and connection with others. This is a serious change of our essence into its opposite. Question: can we say that this is a change from an egocentric perception of the world to a holistic perception of the world? Answer: of course. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, June 17, 2019. The Spiritual Role of Women, Part 3. Turn the cup toward the good. Rabash, Dargit HaSulam, item 274, specifically through a man and a woman. Also, if one has only the power of reception without sparks of bestowal, he can no longer make a choice to reject the bad and choose the good, since then he does not have the strength to decide to the side of merit. The most important thing is the property of bestowal. We must develop it as much as possible and accordingly use the female property of receiving so that we always have the opportunity to elevate the property of bestowal over the property of receiving. Then we can perform the action of receiving for the sake of bestowal. Hence, specifically when the two forces are equal, the power of reception and the power of bestowal, and this is the best option, one has room for work and labor to be able to prevail through the labor and determine to the side of merit. At that time, this deed that a person has decided to the side of merit is called newborn, meaning that the Creator places the spirit of life in this action. This is not about individual bodies but about one person, because in each of us there are both female and male parts. If they are in the right interaction, when a person, working on himself, causes such an influence of the upper light that all his desires to receive are in the intention for bestowal, then he is already acting correctly, he is corrected. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 8, 2020. Two kinds of attitudes toward the Creator. There are absolute laws for attaining the Creator and they never change from one person to another. Anyone who wants to attain the Creator from our earthly state needs to perform accurate actions and build certain attributes within, and then he will begin to reveal the Creator through the 125 levels of attainment of the worlds. No one in this world is able to change this picture, this sequence, the conditions, or these rules that have existed throughout history. They will always be the same for everyone. Our feelings are subjective, but the attainment of feelings is absolutely the same and objective and stem from the general resistance between the light and the vessel, desire. The creation is called a desire, and the desire is new each time and changes under our influence and the influence of the Creator from above. Here we need to distinguish between two kinds of attitudes toward the Creator. On one hand, it is an attitude toward the Creator himself, and on the other hand, it is an attitude toward what stems from him. We cannot say anything about the attitude toward the Creator except for the fact that he is the source and nothing more than that. The source of what? Of the good or the bad? I don't know. But do you feel good now? Yes, I feel good. And can you feel bad? Yes, I can. So does this mean that the source changes? Kabbalists tell us that the source does not change. Absolute bestowal descends from it constantly, which is what we call the upper light. But you are in your qualities in a certain state to this influence of the Creator's bestowal, and so you feel his impacts differently each time. In principle, we speak about our states and not the state of the Creator. So a person needs to understand that when he says that the Creator is bad or good and that he affects me one way or another, it is not that the Creator changes, but that the person himself changes, but it seems to us that it is the Creator who changes. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 8, 2019. What should we allow children to do and what should be prohibited? Question. In a school in Israel, a fourth grade student hits teachers. In fact, the behavior of children in schools has become, if not aggressive, then uncontrollable. That is, the child, according to the remarks of the teacher, can hit him and push him, not to mention that he can simply contradict him. Where is the line between permitted and prohibited when a person grows, understanding his capabilities and, yet, not crossing the boundaries of uncontrollability? Answer: it depends on education. In accordance with what you give to a person, you can allow him to be within certain boundaries. Question: can children be punished? Answer: it depends on the punishment and how it is perceived. Punishment should be seen as a correction. When I take a child and ask him, "Did you do the right thing?" -No. Why did you do that? -I wanted to. It seemed to me. Do you understand that there is a little devil in you who is pushing you to do this? -Yes. How do we get this little devil out of you? Try yourself to weigh your act and punishment. The punishment will no longer be a punishment but a correction, so that the next time you will not hear this evil devil, so that he will not allow you to do stupid things. We discuss this with him. And then he himself will weigh the situation and say what he thinks about it. Question: so it turns out to be like a game? Answer: this is not a game, this is working on errors. It is correcting the mistakes of nature. Question: you said that a judge is one who can judge himself over his own egoism. How can a person move to such a position so that he can see himself in the present, see himself in the future, and still judge the situation correctly, if it is, for example, a child? Answer: there is a lot to learn. It is necessary to compare all the facts, study the nature of humankind and the world around us, somehow explain the science of Kabbalah, and reveal it to everyone, including children. We need to be open with them, talk about our problems and about our nature as that which exists in us and does not depend on us, and discuss how we can fight this and how we can balance it. All of this must be the subject of judgment. And then a person will begin to relate objectively to himself and to others. He will understand, yes, this is my weakness, but this is his. How can we balance the negative and positive forces? Only in this way can I come to the right society. The world, from day to day, shows that we cannot educate a person about anything except for the right attitude to the world, to ourselves, and to people. And that's it. Question: what should this correct attitude be based upon? Answer: the right relationship should be based on the realization of evil and good, which we are composed of, and how we can balance them in ourselves, in parents, in children, and between everyone. Relations are objective, relations are absolutely open. Do not hide anything. What should I hide? I am created this way and I have to fix myself. How can society fix me, myself, my parents, and everything? Everyone should be this way. So all of us are engaged in open self-correction. This should be the schooling. Question: what can children be allowed and what should they not be allowed to do? Answer: I gave money to my son at the age of 16 to travel around the whole world. He was in Europe, India, and various other countries. After that, he returned and said, "Never again. This is what I want." I wanted him to see all of this so that he would understand that it was not his. Why am I saying this? It must be allowed. Question: and what can be allowed for children in primary school or preschool-aged children so that they understand we must be guided by certain values, that these are our foundation, and that others are anti-values that we cannot afford to acquire? Answer: I am not a psychologist, especially not a child psychologist. I just know that we need to raise a child in accordance with his inclinations, and all the time I must show him an example. Example: children are brought up by examples. Today we have a lot of examples from all over the world that our children see, and, therefore, this is a big problem. I believe that it is necessary to organize the right, serious environment around a person, because only this can educate him. The most important thing is providing an example. And if a person has bad examples, including all kinds of films about robbers, thieves, rapists, etc., then, naturally, he will grow up like that. He will willfully become so, involuntarily, because he absorbs these examples and writes them into himself as if copying and eventually repeating them. It is you who paint the future world into small people today. They will grow and begin to implement it. You must take it all together and do it all in the name of the next generation. It should be integral to state and world politics. The main problem facing mankind is education. It is needed in order to make the next generation right, happy, wise, and kind. Remark: there is a very deep foundation in the fact that in Jewish families, and in Israel in particular, children are allowed everything. They can do everything. This instills in them a certain courage and craving for risk. They are not afraid of anything since fear is not brought up in them. My comment: they do not put pressure on them because, under pressure, the feeling of a person's confidence in the world disappears. And so, they are born confident, self-confident, arrogant, and so on. But still, such an attitude toward the world that the world is beneath me, is the right property. A person should feel this way. But, treating the world like this, do I look at it with love? Am I looking at it in the right way? Or in a purely consumeristic, selfish way? This is already a problem. And today, it is not really being solved. Question: how can we instill love within impudence and self-confidence so that it becomes confidence, respect, something that connects a person with another and does not repel people from one another? Answer: we cannot do this if we do not direct humankind to the higher power within nature. All of nature is governed by an upper force. All of nature is arranged, wound up, and imprisoned only to bring a person to his best, highest state. If a person receives this direction, then he correctly interprets everything that happens to him in life with people and within nature, and he knows how to correctly use all of these data. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, December 3, 2019. Love 1 or 10. Question. Is it enough to love your neighbor and satisfy his desires in order to achieve the goal? Answer. It's enough if I love the 10. To love one's neighbor is a kind of selfish concept. But if I join the 10, try to connect with my friends, and cancel myself before them, if I completely set myself up so that I try to get closer to them all the time, then I am doing my job. I begin to feel the Creator's conversation with me. What he does in me increases hatred, removes it, constantly goes through my properties, and in this way I feel it. Question. We are arranged in such a way where we feel confident only when everything around us is logical and explainable, when the presumed is confirmed by the real, when the desired coincides with the possible. How does one work in the 10 if this doesn't happen? Answer. We must set a clear goal for ourselves, watch how we can connect with it, and have many discussions in the 10 about it and how to unite in the progression toward the goal. Everyone turns into one person, into one image in the goal toward which you progress. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 29, 2019. Why did nature create man? Question. Why did nature create man? Answer. Man was created in order to exist between the two forces, positive and negative, and to become similar to the positive force of nature. Therefore, a human being is called Adam from the word Dome, like, meaning like the general nature. In fact, a human being includes absolutely all the forces of nature. Only, at the present time, we see that a human is a small, one-sided, underdeveloped, selfish, and unhappy creature. He is not even a human being because he is not like the general system of nature. He was created precisely in order to absorb all the forces of nature, combine them within himself in the right way, and control the entire universe. From Cab TV's Meetings with Kabbalah, Victoria Bonia, March 29, 2020. Two sources of connection with the spiritual world. Question. Is our connection with the spiritual world either through a book written by Kabbalists or through people who have already attained this system? Answer. No. Connection with the upper world is very difficult to obtain through a book. It can be only through a teacher, and so constantly, from generation to generation. The book does not replace communication with a Kabbalist teacher. You can read many books that can direct a person to the right goal, but you can achieve it only by learning from the right teacher. Moreover, not all Kabbalists, those who have attained the highest state of nature, can be teachers. It depends on the root of the soul. Someone has it, someone does not. As in our world, a person can be a great scientist, but a terrible teacher, that is, he is not given these abilities. But there are, on the other hand, those who teach extremely well, but they themselves are small fries. Question. So, the connection with the upper world takes place through two components, a teacher and a book. Answer. Yes. Therefore, this science is called Kabbalah, that is, receiving, including from the teacher. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, June 10, 2019. Nature's cruel reaction. Baal HaSulam, Peace in the World, we find the opportunity to examine the conditions of life in the last generation, the time of world peace, when the whole of humanity achieves the level of the first side and will use their singularity only in the form of bestowal upon others, and not at all in the form of reception for self. And it is good to copy here the above-mentioned form of life so it will serve to us as a lesson and as a role model to settle our minds under the flood of the waves of our lives. Perhaps it is worthwhile and possible in our generation, too, to experiment in resembling this above form of life. Question. What exactly can we do in our life practically in order to switch to bestowal, which we imagine very vaguely? Answer. The fact is that in a truly correct, closed ecological environment. Nothing is used without a purpose but only for the sake of what is necessary for existence. And everything else is passed on for the benefit of the system. This is a dynamic equilibrium in which if one excludes man, the inanimate, vegetative, and animal levels of nature automatically exist. As soon as we humans cease to come into contact with them, a balance immediately sets in between all parts of nature. The wolves are full and the sheep are whole. Everything calms down. There is a place for everything in nature. The problem is only in man, or rather, in his egoism, when in addition to the desire necessary for existence, he begins to use nature and supposedly rule over it, break, bend, and crush all for himself. We must understand the principle of the integrality of nature, its harmony, its interconnection. And if we do not advance toward this in a good way, nature begins to slowly resist us. And then when we are already violating certain states of nature, it makes a sharp move because it cannot allow us to do so. Its reaction manifests itself in the form of various problems such as explosions, hurricanes, tsunamis, technical disasters, and the coronavirus. In addition, nature has an infinite number of different negative reactions to man, precisely because he creates them himself. He evokes them. I hope that the coronavirus will seriously straighten us out. We will begin to understand how we should act and what we should do with nature. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 5, 2020. In one desire with the Creator. Remark, one of the Kabbalistic principles of working in a group is to exalt the goal. Our goal is to come to the Creator. The Creator is a property of bestowal and we begin to play with this property. The problem arises, why should I play with all this? I want real feelings, not simulated ones. My comment, do it. Please, everything is possible. But you are not in a state of true relationship of bestowal with each other. You cannot even imagine what it means when all selfish thoughts and desires completely dissolve. Everything is exposed and only our inner part remains. That is, all our desires, with the help of the light, are combined into one single desire with the Creator. We have not yet matured, but still have to do some kind of movement, called the game. Each person must act mechanically or artificially, to explain to oneself and one's friends how we should be connected so the Creator will appear between us. If we play correctly, we will discover the presence of the Creator between us, for this is the game. Moreover, the presence of the Creator will be more and more obvious and we will begin to understand how we should play. He will lead us. He will be hiding and revealing himself. We will begin to work together with him on our closer and more effective connection so that he will become clearly manifested between us. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 25, 2019. Do not adapt yourself to a common standard. Question. In forming a relationship with friends, is it imperative that they feel, understand, and sense the same as I do? Answer, no, it is not at all necessary. In a group, you can be on completely different levels. But this still means nothing. Do not strive to fit yourself under some common measure. Each person should, as much as possible, positively influence others, unite them, fill them through himself, and most importantly, raise man to the Creator from all the friends in the group. In this case, we advance. We should not compare who is more, who is less. After we come a little closer, we will begin to feel ourselves in a single system, in the ten, where the mutual combination of forces takes place. Therefore, it has everything in common, a common revelation of the Creator, a common light, and a common tension. And although each of us is different from the rest, one has a higher sensitivity to sensations, the other has a sensitivity to knowledge, etc. But since all kinds of additions and calculations are taking place here, both sensory and physical, these are eliminated in the upper 10, for everyone, everything goes the same way, and for everyone, one creator is revealed. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 1, 2020. Don't believe the rumors. Question: how do we counteract the rumors that everything that is happening is just a rehearsal of the world behind the scenes before the global cleanup of the Earth's population, before global vaccination, chipization of the population? Answer: in extreme situations, as a rule, such rumors always emerge. People try to explain what has happened with the fact that it was graft, or vaccine, or something similar affecting people in such a manner. I do not relate to such things and do not speak for or against them. What nature does happens anyway, and people cannot prevent it. Therefore, relate to such rumors calmly, let people talk. Even before people start talking, the virus will change our entire worldview. That is why it does not matter. Nature moves its own way nonetheless. People are prone to speculation that someone is starting up some mechanisms behind our back, playing political, economic, or other games. It is typical for us to make problems look like something we supposedly understand, that somewhere on Earth someone is sitting and twisting everything. But this all is very shallow. Now changes are happening on a global scale, affecting absolutely everyone, rich and poor, sick and healthy, old and young, men and women. It is just a virus, and that is all. It is being researched in all countries and no one knows what to do with it. Who can manage it? Do not pay attention to these tales. Of course, there are many small, egoistic possibilities to say something about someone. My mother-in-law made it up in her kitchen and she is now sending it to me. Some time ago, I had an internship in Leningrad, present-day St. Petersburg, in a hospital for the mentally ill. There were a lot of such people with seemingly truthful stories. Intelligent people, with a broad outlook, with such depth. They were sitting in front of you in hospital pajamas and saying such things, you could write a novel. So do not listen to gossip. Before we write a novel, its time has already passed, people will get wiser because they will already be in the second, third, or fourth acts of this drama. Not even drama, but a grandiose production of the creator that must be watched and admired. Why admired? We, of course, pay for this with our lives and suffering, but in the end, we will be transformed. We may personally pay a great price, but humanity will move forward, to the truth, to the essence, toward the revelation of the inner meaning, the inner program of nature. They will start to understand how nature works. This is the most important human pleasure for those who are alive and those who have already risen to the other level of existence. The most important human pleasure is the attainment of the inner program of nature, its huge inner computer called Shekhinah. He sees how it works on all levels, at all times, through all worlds. And this understanding, the feeling of what is happening, gives eternal, infinite pleasure. This is the attainment of the Creator. Form Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 5, 2020.